Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Penny, who is here to give us an update on the monastery garden. Welcome, Penny.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
So maybe you could walk us through the recent happenings in the incredibly gorgeous, I think this is the biggest summer garden we've had in quite some time, yeah?
Well, it sure is the biggest summer garden we've had in quite some time now. Summer in our garden is in a relatively quiet time.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people think in terms of summer gardens, but if they think in terms of they're coming from places that rain.
Exactly.
You know, winter is really the big garden season because it rains. But this year, we have
we actually have water.
Of water that we've saved. Last year,
yeah.
You know, we tried to get through the 6 months of no rain on with a tank that had 900 gallons. This year, we have 10,000 gallons available to the garden.
Yeah.
So it's a very different situation than it was. So we've actually. We in the summer, the beds that are right in the blazing sun, a lot of them we just sort of shut down. We put material on them waiting for the rain, a lot of compost and organic matter waiting for the rain to fall on them and start to nourish the garden, and then we'll plant them in the winter. So mostly what we have in the garden right now are tomatoes and squashes. The artichokes are done. The garlics have just been harvested, and there is also a new bed in the shade that we have some greens in, some lettuces and kales. So it's still a relatively smaller garden than it is in the winter, but it's a whole lot bigger than it was last summer.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that was the thing. I was walking through it today and just marveling at, oh, my gosh, we have a summer garden.
Yeah.
Right? Because exactly so. I mean, we truly haven't had that luxury in quite some time, and people have probably read about it in the newsletters and such, but we now have in total 20,000 gallons of water storage on the property.
Right.
And as you say, not all of that is for the garden. Some of that is for showering and drinking and that sort of thing, but the majority of it is for the landscaping and for gardening and keeping the property. Yep.
It's an entirely new world.
It really is.
The garden is not just the vegetables either. So there's, for years we've had beds that were mainly for flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are hollyhocks and some other flowers, pincushion flowers and other kinds of flowers in the garden. And then there's been an experiment going on with the flowers of a method that was designed by a woman named Ruth Stout, who believes in straw. And so there's lots and lots of straw in those beds, and then the kind of what we would call the hard compost, the stuff that's not runny, goes right under the straw to nourish those beds. And so and we've also mixed in vegetables among them. We had fava beans in there, and we have some artichokes in there. And although the beans and artichokes are done, those beds are just being nourished continually. And in time, I think we'll be especially fertile and producing great stuff.
Mm. And I marvel at how quickly that compost that's under that straw decomposes.
It's amazing, isn't it? As they say, compost happens. And it happens fast when you have the right conditions for it.
Yeah, exactly so. And I just have to say that those artichokes and those fava beans, wow, that was a treat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
The artichokes we planted last year became huge this year. And, in fact, I need to cut back that plant because the plant has died off, but there's some new growth at the bottom. So it's going to be like cutting down a tree. And it really generated, I think that one plant generated about 20 artichokes, and then the other little one, the one that was smaller, generated probably another 15. And next year we have three more plants that we'll start generating. So, and the great thing is they're perennials. And we're trying to do a little more of that because perennials use less water once they're established.
Uh-huh.
And three of the artichokes are in these beds that had the flowers in them that are being composted the way you're talking about. And they really had a happy year this year, and I think they're going to be great next year.
So those artichokes that we ate this year were the plants that were planted last year. Is that what you're saying?
And a few of the plants that were planted this year were already producing.
Wow. Wow, yeah. That's amazing, because it seems last year we had a few here and there. This year, I mean, we had a number of meals where artichokes could be the central feature, and boy, is that a treat. Just,
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing about it, the plants are exquisite. They're so
beautiful. Beautiful, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Just, I would walk by them often and marvel. That's a work of art. And then to have that beautiful thing show up on your plate as a delicious, I mean, adventure, right?
Yes.
Such an adventure eating an artichoke.
And at the moment, there's some artichokes that are becoming what, I mean, artichokes are basically a thistle. So there's a couple of artichokes that are turning into thistles. They were dry in the end of the season, and so one of them appeared in the pavilion. As a plant, as a flower, last Sunday, and they're beautiful.
And the and the meditation hall. Exactly, I couldn't believe it. I walked in there. Oh, wow, that is an artichoke.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so beautiful.
The gift that keeps on giving, really.
Right, and then the fava beans, right? Because the fava beans, I think, are planted largely as a cover crop, right?
They're planted in the fall and winter, and they finish up in the spring.
And is that they're not a cover crop? I thought they were sort
they're
of something
crop.
That.
I thought, I'm sorry. I thought you said they're a summer crop. No, they are a cover crop.
Yeah.
And what we mean by that is that they have the capacity to make nitrogen available to themselves and any surrounding plants, and we leave the roots in, and subsequent plants also benefit from that. And then they're amazingly versatile. I just found out this year that actually the entire plant is edible, which I didn't know, and we've never tried that.
The outside of it.
Sort of not on fava stems or anything like that, but apparently you could. And so the beans, we have tons of beans. We were filling plastic bags of beans, and then...
Yeah.
The stems we cut off and have been sitting in the garden, and I brought them home today, and I've started putting them through the chipper, and they will form
perfect.
This wonderful chipped-up mulch.
Oh, my gosh. And those beans, oh, my gosh. Because I, you know, you made a comment at one point when you were telling us how many would be harvested, and you said, you know, no more than, say, 10,000, I don't think. They truly are prolific. And so I did some research also, because I think what a lot of people do is boil them and then pop them on the shelves. And I found this one person who said, don't do that. She said, in Italy, we don't do that. We just eat the whole thing. And so we did. We ate the whole beans. And, oh, my gosh, it's endless what you can do with those. And they're so delicious. And for me, just a sense of...
You ate them in the pod?
No, not in the pod. In their little shells within,
In their little shells, yeah.
We didn't individually take them out of their shelves. Yeah.
And if you parboil them briefly, and you can freeze them, and they are as good in, you know, in
April
as they would be when we first harvest them, the previous April. So, yeah, they last forever, too, which is really great. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there's something about eating the food you grew, you know, eating
absolutely.
The food that your place on the planet grew that just feels so... rewarding and kind of whole and healthy.
It does.
I just find it hugely satisfying that we're able to really grow some food now.
Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. And just so much gratitude to you, Penny, for the care and the attention that you've put into it. I know, you know, you weren't particularly trained as a gardener or that sort of thing, but just the interest and the willingness to do the research, to find out, to have the experience year after year to be in there. I mean, I think a lot of our, quote, research has come from trying things out, you know, the Zen approach. What works.
Yes, it has. And I also want to say, right now, frankly, with, you know, given the winter we had and the growth we had, you remember that there were weeds were so high we couldn't even see anybody in the garden. And given the fecundity of the garden this spring, I want to give a huge shout-out of thanks to the people who come to those work retreats.
Amen.
Because it would have been unmanageable, except we had all these wonderful, willing people plunging into the garden and all over the grounds, as you know, doing what needed to be done, and they really made a huge difference. And people who come for the weekends as well. So thank you to all the people who decided that they would come and you know, give their time and physical work to the whole monastery, because it's such, it makes such a difference. It's like having the 20,000 gallons of water, you know.
It really is. It completely changes everything. And I know at each of those retreats, Sherry said, and it's hard to know if people were truly taking it in, there's no way we could have done this without you. And that's not just a platitude. We truly could not. Yeah.
That's right. We would still be wading through, you know, 8-foot weeds and trying to find plants, trying to find the vegetables we planted without those folks. So it just made all the difference.
Exactly. And it's just so fun how it's just like practice, right? Every year deepens. And so that place, as you just said, of getting to eat the food that's grown right where you are, where you're living, I feel like that is expanding for us every year. And with the water now and with the experience we've had and all that, I just know that the kitchen and the garden are going to, as we say, become more and more one, I think.
Yes,
so,
and I think we're doing a better job of coordinating. In fact, I went in today and I gave a note to the kitchen person, said, is it better for me to harvest the lettuce today or Thursday? And she thought about it, and she wrote out a note and said, Thursday it'll be fresher. And she said that would be preferable, and we agreed absolutely that's preferable. So it just is, I think the coordination is better and will continue to be.
And, you know, that reminds me of one more thing I wanted to add in, Penny, that I think is so fun, which is that there are a number of weeks where the garden is so plentiful, what was coming in from the garden, that was the mainstay of what we were eating. And then we were just supplementing with other things that we were bringing in around the menu. But that the menu, the meals we were eating could be built around the garden. And that's just it's such a privilege on so many levels. And it's everything that's gone into those of us who get to experience that, such deep gratitude. Yeah.
Well, I have deep gratitude too, because it's a privilege to just watch all that happen. You know, you do what you can, and then the garden does the rest.
Right. It's such a good metaphor for life. Right. We don't have to try hard to make those artichokes.
Right.
And we plant the seed.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Penny. Anything else you wanted to add before we end?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to another incredible winter garden when the rains come again. But I'm totally enjoying the kind of reduced garden we have. Oh, I know. But one thing I do want to say is it's a reduced garden, and yet it's huge compared to last year. And as Sherry has pointed out, those tanks were made possible by Sangha.
And
just as people come and do the work, people have been supporting the monastery for years. And when those tanks came in, Sherry said, this is because we have the Sangha, we have, supporting this place. And as someone who benefits from it, four times a week when I water, I can tell you that I share in that gratitude immensely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And to tell everyone, come here and eat your vegetables that you participated in.
Right.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for being with us,
Penny. Thank you, Jen. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And Ashwini, we'll turn it over to you, Sherry.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Betty. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. This is kind of deja vu. Didn't we just have this experience a few hours ago?
Yes, I had to very consciously not say good morning and welcome to Project Joy. But Michael is taking one of his rare vacation days, and so I get to steward the show today. Do it twice in one day. Oh, what a privilege.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now this is the point at which Michael says, and I have some announcements.
I do have some announcements, Sherry, and here they are.
All right.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, Participants enjoyed practice activities and guidance in the peace and beauty of the monastery grounds. A practice weekend is coming up July 14th to July 16th. Our deep identification with me, the illusion of the self separate from life, masks our ability to be present to that which animates all as our true nature. Join Sherry in an email class August 1st through the 25th for an engaging exploration of how our identification with all Enya types prevents us from directly expressing authenticity. Can't wait for that one, Sherry. So excited about it.
Me too. We get to be everybody, right? Instead of just limited to this one little identity, we get to see how we're everybody.
Well, and we get how to see, we get how to see that just being the identity that we think we are, this goes back to that newsletter article you wrote. If I know my karma, I don't have to see all of the ways in which karma is playing out that I don't know about. And that's the whole purpose of the class.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good connection. Thank you for that. I'll use that. Thank you.
And then we are starting off a recording and listening training, a 6-week conference call retreat for teaching 6 key skills of this valuable practice tool. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old timer. 2 new classes start August 28th and August 30th. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that someone said to me that, you know, is such a profound benefit of the class is often we pick up recording and listening training by osmosis, and then we do that practice and we benefit so much from it. But then to go into a class where there's a framework that identifies the skills I'm using and the context in which I can use the skills is so beneficial. It gives you a deeper way to use the tool.
Yes. And again, new people and old timers, right? So people who've been around the practice for a long time, and as you say, just kind of picked it up as they went along, do that class and go, whoa, I didn't realize what was possible with this.
Yep. And then the process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. You and I, Sherry, are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, September 1st through the 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and practice life joy. Mm-hmm. I've done that retreat a couple of times, Sherry. I would say that we do end up doing that, don't we?
I think so, too. I've done it myself a couple of times, and it delivers on its promises.
I'm just looking at the registration list, and it's amazing the number of people who are doing the retreat again.
Aha. Oh, fun. Well, people, when we were in North Carolina, people said, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it when you go to Pennsylvania. So they must be true to their word. Great.
Well, for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And I have an announcement that wasn't on the announcement, Sherry. May I make it?
Oh, please.
Well, we're just going to be releasing the schedule for Center. So just to look out for that email of how the ongoing classes and groups and workshops at the Center are going to be published. And we invite everyone to take full advantage of that if you're local and or if you have friends, family, colleagues, anyone who's interested in knowing more about practice. Really
and are anywhere close to Mountain View or Palo Alto or anywhere like that, send them our way.
Right. And it's friendly format of visiting hours and orientations and appointment by appointment and things like that. So very exciting. All right. So I think we're ready to start the show. And at this point, Michael says, if you want to talk to Sherry, make a show by pressing *6 and then 1.
All right.
So
let's
here we
do
go.
This thing. Thank you, Ashwini.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Barbara from Australia.
Well, hello
hey,
there.
Barbara.
Hi. Well, I'm calling in because I've been in a storm of identification that has included you should just quit Zen practice, it's too hard. And I did some recording this morning and the mentor was encouraging me to go on the offensive.
Well,
so that's what I'm doing.
Very good. Yes. Now, what is it, I'm curious, what is it that the voices think is too hard about Zen practice? What is their argument for quitting?
Well, one of the arguments is that my life has just gone downhill since I started.
Don't you love it?
That's the main one, actually.
Since you started practicing awareness, since you started paying attention, your life has just gone downhill.
Yeah.
Wow, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of... So the assignment, Project Joy assignment this morning was so great for me, and I listened to... I've got about halfway through the radio show from this morning. It was also so fantastic because I... When I read that assignment, I thought, okay, that kind of summed it up. Like, I've been really believing that the externals are going to make a difference and do make a difference and would make a difference. And
if that
door
weren't whining and that fly weren't buzzing and that, I can't remember what the third one was, my life would really work. But because that stuff is going on, it doesn't.
Well, what ego does with that for me is that, they're not just like flies buzzing at the moment. They're my health situation. They're my housing situation. They're big external things. So, mm-hmm. It kind of goes, but come on, that makes a difference. Surely that makes a difference.
And so how would not being aware help?
Do
you ever ask it how that would work? How will your health be better if you're not aware? Or how will not being aware solve your housing questions?
Yeah. It's just what happens is, ego gets into this fear storm, really. That's what it's felt like. Especially when I get quite unwell and at a time when I actually can't really manage to make any kind of external change in anything, conditioning starts to sort of project that into the forever future, like I'm always going to feel like that, how will I ever manage, blah, blah, blah. Or if I decide I'm not going to make a big change, it's like whichever way I go, it's just a terrifying prospect.
And so the thing about it, I'm guessing that this is true. What the voices don't want you to do is confront them. So when it's got you into a, this is awful and it's going to be awful for the rest of your life, it doesn't want to hear any of this smart-alecky, we'll just be here and be present and breathe and see how life unfolds. It doesn't want to hear any of that.
Oh, it really has a lot. It has a big reaction to hearing that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be listening to the, it's awful, it's awful, it's awful. By the way, it's always been awful and it will always be awful, except when it's telling you how it used to be better and now it's awful and it's always going to be awful.
Yeah.
That's the conversation it wants you to stay in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I can feel this morning the recording really helped. The other thing, when it's like this, it's like a constant barrage. I can just, it's just there. There's no break in it. And it's helpful for me to write down, actually to really identify exactly what's being said to me, because it just feels sort of like a tsunami. It doesn't really...
Yeah.
But it's I know that it's helpful to sort of write down exactly what's being said, and then I can identify that it's you, and then that helps to go, oh, okay, so that's ego. I don't need to believe that.
Oh, and it really hates that, doesn't it? Put that pen down. Why are you writing this down? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just a tsunami is a great image for it, right? It's just there's not a split second where it's not haranguing you. But that's not your problem, Barbara. That is not your problem. Awareness is your problem. It's not those voices, because they're just telling you the truth. They're just telling you how it is, right? And you should really listen and believe them and stop being aware.
Yeah.
Insane,
it's incredible. It is insane. And I hear that when you say it, which is why I called in, obviously. But when it's happening and it's like, and there was a little, you know, there was a part of me that kind of knew what was happening, but mostly, you know, I was just in it. And believing it. And it's so convincing, you know.
Yes. Well, because it is a hard time. It is. That's really true, right? There are times in life that are really, really difficult. That's just true. But getting a person who's having a hard time and stomping on them, knocking them down and stomping on them to just beat them over the head with, this is a really hard time, okay? You might not have noticed it, but this is a really hard time. Your health is not good. Your living situation is not. In case you don't know this, let me tell you again.
I know. And then on top of that, it's like, you know, being beaten up for that happening. You know, being beaten up for, practice doesn't work. Look what's happened. Blah blah blah.
Look what a mess you are. If practice worked, you wouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah.
It really is demented. I'm glad you called, because there's not any one of us who doesn't exactly know this place. The content would be different, probably, although not in all cases. I mean, those are standard, pretty, you know, we're all going to hit those. Living situations, jobs, relationship, health. Money. I mean, these are the human issues, and so there we are, and we get the most astounding thing about us as critters is that we can get caught believing that over and over and over again. And then when we're caught in it, we don't notice that it's happening inside our heads, and we don't notice that the only thing that's really bothering me right now is that tsunami of fear. Because I feel the way I feel. I'm living where I'm living. You know, right in this moment, this is what I've got. So
yeah. And I can feel what that tsunami of fear does to my body, you know. It's terrible.
It doesn't help your health.
It really doesn't. Mm-mm. Then that gets me even more scared. It's like, it's such a vicious cycle.
Yes.
Such a vicious cycle.
It's hideous. So I am really grateful that the mentor has encouraged you to go on the offensive. Just go right after it. Attack, 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 attack. So you write those things down. And so what you're saying is that I blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not true. And what's really true is da, 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 da. Okay, now what you're saying is that, and those voices are going to be quiet for a while. Not forever, as we know, but for a while. Because they're bullies. You know, they don't want to engage with anybody who's coming after them. They just want to chase people, make people afraid, and then chase them.
Yep, That's certainly
yeah,
what
so
it's
get
moving
offensive.
Like.
Get offensive. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
get
I'm
as
so glad
mean,
I called
get
you.
Get as in your face as they are.
Yeah. Because what
yeah.
they, you know, because what I, they have me feeling, you know, like completely worn down and hopeless and, oh, my
yeah.
God, I can hardly lift my hand up kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah,
how can I go on the offensive? I'm so exhausted. You know, it's like, but
yes.
I know from past experience that it works. So
yes, and the mentor yeah. knows how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's our secret weapon. The mentor knows. Life has all the strength you need. And as I'm fond of pointing out, it's infinite. So we tap into that. We drop that other crapola. We tap into the life force that's animating us via the mentor, right? Because that's kind of our way of seeing and hearing it. And there we are. We've got everything we need to vanquish those hateful little beasties.
Hmm. Okay. Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
You can do it. Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks,
good
Sherry.
To hear
thanks
from
to
you.
Twinnie. Bye.
Thanks, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
That was such a powerful conversation, Jerry. The two things that stood out for me in that was what you said, and we've been looking at this in the retreat right now, there's nothing wrong with you, about how the voices redirect the focus of the problem to the content of the situation, rather than
uh-huh.
so that we won't look at the voices as the source of the problem.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It takes a while in practice, doesn't it, to get to that place
yeah.
of realizing, but if that voice in my head weren't saying that, I'd be having a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
And,
exactly
and the,
so.
the way Barbara laid it out was so helpful. So would I still have health problems? Well, who knows? You know, very likely, yes, but would my body benefit from not having all that negativity spewed all over it all the time? Probably so. I would probably
yes.
feel a whole lot better.
Yes. That the pain that I'm going through, it's what the sort of a religious experience for me to experience excruciating pain, to have that the voices start up about all that it could mean, and then to recognize over time with in dealing with pain, how much there's a sense of well-being. It's painful that the pain doesn't go away, but there is a way in which I'm there with expanded awareness in the pain that makes
yes.
it a totally different experience.
Yep, yep. You may be in pain, but you don't have to suffer.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's on top of something. It's something unnecessary on top of what's already
yeah.
a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Piling on.
Piling on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Hi, I'm calling to report on my experiment I told you about last week.
Oh, very good, very good.
About the experiment was to listen to a recording at night when I sleep.
That's right, because the voices like to interfere with your sleep.
So the first
night. Is that
true? Yes, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm. So the first night, I forgot to put it on repeat, so it only played once
uh-huh.
during the night. And then the second night, it repeated the recording, a 10-minute recording for the entire night. And so I would hear it, you know, occasionally through the night, little blips of, I choose love, I choose peace, or unconditional love. So little blips of the words going in.
Uh-huh. So you kind of... Come out of sleep and into conscious
mm-hmm.
awareness and just hear a little snippet of something
yeah.
and then just
yeah.
go right back into a,
yeah.
a deeper sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was it was actually enjoyable. Uh-huh. Enjoyable to hear the snippets. And they're at different volumes. So some of them I could hear very clearly, some of them like not so much. But the spirit of the words,
mm-hmm.
I felt those. Of the spirit of love, compassion,
mm-hmm.
consciousness,
mm-hmm.
peace,
mm-hmm.
joy.
And that feeling of I project, the way it must feel to a baby to have a lullaby sung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, the soothing voice that just says, everything is okay. I love you. You're fine. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It could be saying anything, but that's the message.
Right. When the baby is, you know, as the baby is falling asleep, the words could come in or out, you know, but the the message is there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tone of it, the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with you, you know, that you cared enough to create this thing for yourself and to do it, right? To listen to it, to make the recording and to listen to it, because you want to support that person who's trying to sleep and protect that person from the hatefulness of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of feel good.
Mm-hmm. And to let her know that, you know, she's worth every effort, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. So she can just come to consciousness, and then there's this little check-in. Oh, yeah, she's there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Right back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the experiment continues.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad you're going to continue. Yeah, because it's going to take a while. So with all of us, we know that our lives just go along. And sometimes this is a problem, and then it's not. And then that is an issue, and then it's not. And then conditioning is really focused on that, which I translate into, I'm really focused on that, and then I'm not, right?
Mm.
So we're just, you know, it's just taking us through karma land. It's like a Disney ride through karma land, right? With, focus on that now. Oh, worry about that now. Oh, feel bad about that now. Oh, well, this is what's, you know. And so when it arises, we have very different life experiences. Right, and so the same thing is happening while we're sleeping, right? And we know that because sometimes it seems like we sleep really well, and then we don't sleep that well, and sometimes we have nightmares or we, you know, whatever it is that's going on, and it changes. So to stay with this and see if you can influence your sleep over the long haul.
So I'm trying it for the month of July.
Yeah, and if it works, of course, you know, and you feel like, oh, yes, this is a very different experience, then hopefully you'll continue. But if you decide, oh, I think I'll take the month of August off and see what happens, you're still paying attention. You're still keeping your charts because you don't want, you don't want conditioning just to say, okay, well, that was great, and I'm sure it was lovely, but we're never doing that again. So it's just... Yeah, we just continue to explore and experiment and have our own experience. That's the bottom line with all of this. Not having conditioning's experience, not having ego's experience, not having self-hate's experience, our own authentic experience of presence to life. That's what our practice is all about. Yeah. All right. Eager to find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Right. Thanks, Judy. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy.
I just love that awareness practitioner attitude of mind, right? We get the guidance. We're so eager to try it out. We do it. We're willing to do it. We go up against the voices to do it. And in that process, we turn something around.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the process is the outcome.
Yeah. And that process is the one we're going for in practice, so that increasingly whatever arises, like, oh, okay, all right, well, what about this? What's going on with this? And I'm not looking to conditioned mind to tell me what's going on with this. I'm looking at direct experience in the moment. I'm completely here. What does life unfold? What does life reveal for me? What's the insight? What's the intuition?
Yeah.
No stories.
No stories.
Yeah.
So, Sherry, at this point, it would be playing an ad or hearing from our sponsor, but I've not been able to get that functionality to work for some reason. Do you want to take a 5-minute break, or shall I?
Oh, not a five minute. No, I think we're fine. Let's just carry on. Yeah, we just get an extra minute to talk with people. This is good. I like it.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. Oh, my gosh. You're just breaking out in every direction. Now you're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. And I didn't think that there'd be, because, you know, but...
You what?
Yeah, I didn't have any hope of getting on. What I wanted to look at is what you just talked about, which is...
Oh, good.
You know, I've been trying to like myself for a good 15 years now. And I, flat on my face, I don't like myself. And I'm not a very good parent to myself. And kind of really getting it on a deep karmic level, I am not proactive. Except I am.
I
have both.
Okay. All right. So I bet there are more, so I'll let you go on with that. I'm not going to jump in and say, well,
go ahead. You already said it. It's like, you know, this works if you're proactive. And when my strongest practice at the moment is the recording and listening and the chanting, just, you know, for hours, keeping it simple. And when I do that, then I want to do it. Then I get to the cushion, and then there's momentum, and there's habit.
Hang on a second. So
yeah.
I thought you said you got to center.
I have experienced moments of center.
Okay.
I mean, I remember,
okay.
You know, it's like when I'm not there, I don't remember. I don't have any memory of it.
Right. That's right. That's why recording and listening is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because recording and listening lets me listen to a recording of what it's like to be at center when conditioning has me and is getting me to forget.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this is where I'll interrupt the flow then. So when we use I for everything, we get really confused. And so ego loves to use I for everybody. So I is all of the aspects of Beth. I is authenticity, and I is ego. So then we get statements like, I'm not proactive. Okay? Well, ego is not proactive, and we don't want to ever get fooled into thinking that it's going to be. It's never going to want to support you to practice. It's just, that's just never going to happen. But that's not you, not being proactive. That's you being bamboozled into listening to ego run your life and blame you for what it's doing.
Yes. Ha! And stepping back, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really helpful because even if in ego likes this sort of thing, ego would say, no. Really, me, Beth. I am not proactive. Well, when Beth is identified with ego, there actually isn't a Beth. So, yeah, you could say Beth is not proactive because she's not there. Which is what makes getting to center so important. Because when we're at center, okay, now we're actually here and we're at choice. And we will choose to practice.
Because
always.
It's saying, yes. I mean, yeah. I find myself just kind of coming to a more still place, a slower pace. Slower pace.
Uh-huh. And that feels like you're more present.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I'm kind of like looking backwards for this information. And, you know, it's like right here, right now. In humble, you know, submission, I'm choosing.
Yes. Yes. So when you're here, when you're present, the choice is for life because there is no ego left over to be arguing with life. Right? There's nothing separate from life to be saying, I don't want to, or I don't feel like it, or I'll do it later, or it's too hard. There isn't an ego doing that. So practice just naturally happens. Life is practice. Because what is practice?
Zen is the
bringing
way.
Attention to awareness.
Yes. I remember you saying, it's like, I've got all these problems, and the solution is the same to all of them. It's to find center.
Yes.
And if you aren't in center, then that's your only work.
Yes. And that's your only problem. Right? It's so simple, isn't it? And it's what we were talking about with Barbara. When we're identified, it's not
easy
or simple.
Yeah.
When we're identified with ego, it's, as you say, you don't even remember that there's another possibility.
Amen.
But as soon as we get back to center, and that's where, as we begin to, you know, as our practice deepens, then we get to that place of, I'm not happy. I'm having a hard time. I'm projecting all this stuff onto life and onto people. I'm identified with
I'm
ego.
Lonely. Yeah.
I'm identified with ego. Okay. All right. So now I don't have to solve all these problems.
Oh, I can try so hard.
Right. Yeah, ego loves to try hard to solve problems that it's making. And amazingly, no matter how hard it tries to solve the problems, they remain unsolved. It's just kind of a mystery that way.
Yeah. You see through something, but then there's all these other things. And getting it that, you know, I'm looking at 52 and if not now, when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting that, I'm having a hard time. It could be anything. I'm having a hard time. Why am I having a hard time? I'm not at center. If I were here in life, identified with life, then there would just be whatever is going on. And again, Barbara's what we were talking about with Barbara is such a perfect example of it. It doesn't necessarily. I'm not living somewhere else magically, right? I am living where I'm living, and maybe I don't know where I'm going to be next month. Okay, that could be true, but it's not a problem. It's only a problem if I'm identified with ego.
Yeah, but then it's kind of down to, you know, where am I going to sleep tonight?
Yeah, it's somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I don't need much.
And of course, ego wants to take us to that place. But realistically, we are rarely in that place. I mean, it hardly ever happens that we wind up on the street. Now, ego wants us to believe that that's just right around the corner, right? Everything is going to, and you're not going to be able to, and it's going to be awful, and oh, my God, right? But that's not what's happening now.
That's not what's happening now. Yeah.
That's right. And we always want to check in. Okay, this here now. Right, this here now. So what's happening right now? Well, no. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm standing here talking to Beth, breathing, looking at the trees, waving in the distance over there, and yeah.
Yeah. Sun's going down, evening breeze.
Yeah.
High July.
There's a problem as soon as I turn to conditioned mind.
Amen.
And what one of the things that we've been talking about so much lately is even when there is no problem, ego can find a problem. That's the quote that I guess it was this morning about the, you know, the buzzing fly or the mosquito or the whatever it is. It will find a problem if we will give it attention.
My house burned down. Now I have a good view of the full moon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't have to worry about that mortgage payment. All right. So we know the answer, right? We got to the answer on that one. There's only ever one problem. There's always one solution. Life is really very simple when we view it that way.
I'm going to meet again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. All right, Cherry, here's our next caller.
Good.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hello, Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi. I'm enjoying this show a lot. And, starting with the garden where I have a first-hand experience. It's such
Where you have what?
Can you hear me well?
I was hearing you well, and then I lost you there. It kind of all ran together. So just say that one again.
Let me try to switch to the phone.
Sounds like you're outside, Pasha.
Yes, I'm outside, and it's
there.
Is it better?
You're clearer. Yep. It's better. Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying the good news update about the garden, and it placed me right there. And I remember that the being in the garden, walking in the garden, and also tasting those vegetables and salad and tiny tomatoes. Yeah, and it's I'm counting days before I hope to have opportunity to be there again.
Aha, good, good. Mm-hmm. It's a refuge, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's such a huge part of my life. It's, it kind of ties the whole year together. There is a time in the monastery and there is a time in between. Yes. So
you know, go ahead.
It just comes to the full circle, and it's I feel like it's what makes my life work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine too, Pasha. I know exactly what you mean. And I was looking at it. You know, so many people want to have a second home.
Mm.
You know, so you're especially you know, you're in the city, and to have a place to go to get away on a weekend or for a week or whatever, and be in the country where it's quiet, where it's you can see the stars and it's really beautiful, and you have one.
Yes, and so many people want to go on vacation, and like talking about Hawaii and so on, somewhere far and exotic, and it's like it feels like it's around the corner, but it's such a kind of far away place at the same time. It's not far away, but it's unusual and like magical. So this is a huge opportunity. I'm very grateful to have it, and it's what I treasure in my life.
Yeah, me too, Pasha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
everything else possible.
Yes, and also what's happening today? I had this. Suddenly the day off yesterday and today, and I'm in a place of conditioning kind of throws me into a la la land, and I'm in a kind of disoriented with like off the regular schedule, missed my morning show and the morning class. So I'm glad that I got reminded about open air, and here I am, and I know what to do.
Yeah, and we just come right back to ourselves, don't we? That's what we were just talking about with Beth, right? I feel disoriented. We can say I have this problem. What do I need to do? Oh, get back to center. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
I know how to do that.
Yes.
And then here we are, and all is well.
Yes, and what I'm grateful for practice is I'm in a place where I've been before, and I know where to go. And it feels like practice is surrounding every place in my life. So it's like... it's not a puzzle, it's not a shock, it's just like I know what's next step, and that's enough. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Just what now? And another way to say that is, what's the next step? And next is really misleading, because it sounds like it's going to be after now, but next is actually what I call the now that I'm just recognizing.
Yes, now is here, and I know where, you know, what to do here. And that's such a, it's such a different feeling of, life got my back. You know, the practice is here, and it's a wonderful feeling of, and the mentor is here, and mentor is available, and it's, I can do it. I can do it.
Your point is so well taken that everything is here now.
Mm.
Always. Everything is here now. We don't have to be anywhere else. We don't have to look anywhere else. We don't have to figure anything out. We don't even have to do anything.
Mm.
It's all here now. We just say yes, and it happens.
Yes, I'm just coming to recognize that, and that's a new country for me. That's a new land, and I'm feeling like I'm settling in here. So that's what I'm very grateful for. Practice to find myself
here.
What?
You've got all the tools you need.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gosho.
Thank you, Pasha. Gosho to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pasha. Yes, metaphorically and literally speaking, I think the place of practice is just our touchstone, right? Once we discover it, it's touching into it that brings us back here.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice to do that. I love what Pasha said. I'm navigating this new country where I'm aware that that's what I can do, get here.
Great.
Well, we have time, I think, for another caller. Sherry, shall I bring our next caller on?
Oh, sure. That'd be great. Thank you.
We might even get a chance to talk to two people. We never know.
We'll see.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hello there.
Hello. I've been sitting outside. I was on my way somewhere, and I took a page from people are often calling in and saying, I'm just going to call in and put myself in the queue. So I hope it's not too loud, but I'm glad to be participating.
Oh, good. It's kind good to have you, and it's not loud at all.
Oh, good. And I'm actually following up on someone else's call into open air that I was listening to the archive from a show in May, and I just started following the guidance, and I just wanted to report back on it because it was awesome. And
lovely.
So someone had called in about procrastination, and the guidance was to look at it, to look at the commitment as a workshop and to just record and listen everything that was going on around what the voices were doing to distract and to procrastinate. And I can tell you the very first time I did that, I saw so much. And the biggest thing that happened is that, and, you know, I just love how things like this, it's like, this is so huge for me, is that I really saw that I had been bamboozled to think that it was about the thing, right, that it was about, in this case, I was writing something. And I'd been bamboozled to think it was actually about what I was writing. But by following your guidance, I saw, of course, you right, it was just the process of showing up. So I didn't have to. What conditioning had been telling me, and not really in words, but this is what I saw, was that, oh, I have to figure this out. I have to get it right. There's something that needs to be completed. It needs to be good.
Except
all of
me.
Those things. Right?
Yeah.
But when I mean, this is exactly what you guys were just talking about, too, that what I saw is, no, actually, I need to just show up and pay attention. And in the moment, that was so beautiful what you were just saying. It's like in the moment, life said, oh, do this, write this. You know, it was just like taking instructions from someone really, really wise and kind.
Yeah. Yeah. And until you have that experience, it sounds like we're talking metaphorically. Right?
Right.
It sounds like and you'll just have a sense. You'll just know. No. You'll hear it.
Yes.
You'll hear
I
it.
Right. But, you know, and there was a recent quote, I can't remember where I saw it, but it was one of Ashwini's quotes about our commitment is to presence. And there was a whole more, you know, it was very beautifully said, but that was the nugget.
Right.
And that's exactly what this is, right? So it's like when I turn my attention to making the commitment, not about the thing I had to write, but to being present, lo and behold, it was easy to write the thing I had to write.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I think the piece of that I really loved, that quote, is when it starts being about the commitment, when ego gets hold of the, but it's about your commitment, that's when it turns into suffering.
Yes! So, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you knew what, I'm glad you knew what I was talking about. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because ego wants to make it about, I mean, duh, but it wants to make it about the content, right? Which is the commitment itself.
Yeah. So and then I commit to going to the gym 3 times a week. And if I don't go to the gym 3 times a week, then I need to be beaten. Right? And then, of course, I talk to a ton of people who say, you know, I won't make commitments anymore. Because it just turns into a beating. Well, no, that's not the point.
You're right.
What you want to do is in the beatings, not in the commitments.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad you said that one because I was actually trying it today because, you know, I had it on my schedule to exercise at a certain time. And then, of course, nah, I don't want to exercise. I don't feel like it. So I was like, well, actually, my commitment is to presence. And right now, you know, I have this time scheduled to exercise, so I'm just going to show up, and it's not about the exercise. But I am going to put on my exercise clothes and get out my weights and, you know, and then life said, well, why don't you just blah, blah, blah. Oh, that felt good, right? Like, so that before I knew it, I was exercising, but that wasn't actually the commitment I was showing up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Conditioning would want to come in, ego would want to come in and say, yeah, but what you said you were going to do was blah, 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 and you didn't do that. And that's the ego getting hold of the content, making about the content instead of what you're talking about, which is, no, my commitment is to be present. My commitment is to be here for life. And when I'm here for life, life is going to provide the exercise. If I'm not here, then it's not going to happen. It's just, I mean, it might happen for a while, but eventually I'll quit because I'm not here. I'm living in ego land.
Yes. And life has its own, like, wonderful wisdom. Like, so life kind of eased me into, I mean, I did end up exercising in the way that I thought I was going to, but it was such a gentler, kinder start to it rather than a, here you are, you have to do this. It was like, hey, why don't you do a little yoga, right? You know, like, you know, it was really lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm very grateful, obviously, as always, but it's like, it's wonderful when we, you know, when we hear other people call in. I mean, it just really demonstrates that, right? That other person who called in didn't know that that was going to be the guidance I needed. But lo and behold, right?
Right. Yes. That's what works so beautifully about Sangha.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Deepa, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Just one other thing, because, again, ego wants it to be all about me. So I'm different. I'm not like all of you other people. I have my own issues and problems and my own struggles. And so I need guidance that is for me and my unusual circumstances.
And, right.
And most of us start out with some variation on that, probably not that blatant, but kind of like that. Oh, gosh, there he goes on and on talking about that, and who cares about his, right? And then after we practice for a while, we get to that place of everybody's me and I'm everybody. So whatever anybody has going on is true for me as well. And if I start applying all of this to me and my life, pretty soon ego's going to say, you're so selfish, you make everything about you. That's a making it about me that is really going to be good for me and not good for ego, right? And so in that way, I'm going along and I hear somebody talking about something and it just clicks, it comes together for me. Oh my gosh, okay, I see. I'm going to practice that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it totally underscores that we are really all one. You know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is so beautiful, and I'm so grateful to Sangha, and thank you for the show tonight.
Oh, you know, we can just end that with "I'm so grateful," can't we? Just there it is. I am just so grateful. Yeah, that's the beginning of the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thank you. Deep Gusho. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm so grateful, Jerry.
I'm so grateful. I mean, that's just, there it is. I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
What are you grateful and for? Everything.
Yes. Yes. The end of the beginning for this radio show.
Uh-huh.
Because we just came to the end of something that never stops.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the now and the next.
Pause.
Time has no relevance if you don't have an ego framework.
True. It is so true, isn't it? And there's nothing flaky about it. And it's not going to be an issue of procrastination.
No.
Life's timing is impeccable.
Yes, it is. And it's sort of a vertical dimension rather than a linear horizontal one. Right? It's just takes you to a new way of being. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Very
thank
grateful.
You, Ashwini. Thank you for stepping in tonight and making this possible and giving Michael a little much needed family holiday time. So thank you. And see you soon.
See you tomorrow morning.
Yes. Good point. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.